We're starting to hear the I word more and more, including from Democratic Congressman Al Green on the House floor yesterday.
I rise today, Mr. Speaker, to call for the impeachment of the President of the United States of America for obstruction of justice. I do not do this for political purposes, Mr. Speaker. I do this because I believe in the great ideals that this country stands for: liberty and justice for all.
Impeachment is a long constitutional process, but how exactly does it work? Joining us now is Alan Lichtman, distinguished professor of history at American University and author of the new book, The Case for Impeachment. Professor Lichtman, you predicted that Trump would win the election. He did. You also predicted that he would be impeached. And in your book, you point to 8 possible grounds for impeachment, including his team's connections with Russia. But people have called for other presidents to be impeached. Is there something different about it this time than there was when people called for President Obama's or President George W. Bush's impeachment?
I think there is. You know, I've disagreed politically with many presidents, but I've never suggested that they are impeachable. We should not be impeaching Donald Trump because we don't like his policies, we don't like his style, we think he's too brash. Rather, as the great expositor of impeachment and the Constitution, Alexander Hamilton, said, we move to impeachment because of the misconduct of public men, the violation of some public trust, and these relate to injuries done to society itself. And we have certainly seen at least probable cause of that, if not proof of that, as yet. Certainly there is probable cause of obstruction of justice when it comes to investigation of collusion with the Russians. There is certainly probable cause of violation of the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, which basically says a president can't take anything of value from a foreign power. We've already seen Trump take things of value. For example, while president, he received approval from China for some 38 potentially lucrative trademarks. So we are really in uncharted territory here when it comes to possible impeachment. And the charges hanging over, and I call them charges because they're not proven yet, Donald Trump, are vastly more serious than the charges involving Bill Clinton, which mostly had to do with covering up a private consensual affair. And in many ways, they're even more serious than the charges in Watergate because they involve an attack on our democracy, the foundations of our nation, by a foreign power.
Now, when you talk about charges, a sitting president can't be taken to court just like anybody else, because it's been determined that they can't do the duties of the presidency while also being charged with a crime, right? But they can be impeached by the Congress. So how does the case begin in the Congress? How does the process start?
I'm very careful to use the word charges or allegations because at this point, nothing is yet proven and investigations are still ongoing. The framers quite advisedly put the power to impeach not in the courts, but in the Congress, in an elected body. That means impeachment is not a strictly legal process. It doesn't require an indictable criminal act. Rather, it is a combined legal, moral, and political process left to the judgment of the U.S. House of Representatives. And typically, you would get an impeachment investigation in the House Judiciary Committee, which by majority vote would decide whether or not to recommend articles of impeachment to the full House. If they recommend such articles, the full House, by majority vote, would vote them up or down. And if articles are voted out of the House, the case moves on to the United States Senate, which tries the president with the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court presiding. And the standards are higher here. It takes a 2/3 vote of senators present to convict and remove a president. So it's a 2-step, maybe even a 3-step process.
And the last time that we went through this was, of course, in the Clinton years. The House of Representatives approved 2 articles of impeachment against President Clinton in 1998, 1 for lying under oath, 1 for obstruction of justice, both relating to his affair with Monica Lewinsky. Here's Republican Representative Bill McCollum, House manager, appealing to the Senate.
I implore you to muster the courage of your convictions, To muster the courage the founding fathers believed that the Senate would always have in times like these. William Jefferson Clinton has committed high crimes and misdemeanors. Convict him and remove him.
Now, as we know, he wasn't removed from office after all of that, even though he was impeached.
That's correct. And they didn't come close to convicting him by a two-thirds vote. I've got to make a very important point here, though. Impeachment is a distinct constitutional process put into the constitutions by the framers as a constitutional, peaceful, and orderly means of removing a rogue president. It was an alternative to the way rulers were removed in their own time, typically by assassination or revolution. We now have an independent counsel. But the independent counsel is not an impeachment investigator. His task is not to decide whether or not the president merits impeachment. His task is to look into criminal activity. If he finds criminal activity on the part of the president, he certainly could recommend impeachment, as Ken Starr did in the Bill Clinton case, but that's not his task. In Watergate, we had the special prosecutor, but we also had a separate ongoing impeachment investigation by the U.S. House of Representatives Judiciary Committee, which is very different. It doesn't only have to consider criminal activity. It could consider, as Alexander Hamilton pointed out, abuses of power that harm our society. Let's also remember, the independent counsel works in secret. We may never know what the results of that investigation might be. These independent counsels typically take years to complete their work. And as we saw in the Watergate case, a president could find someone in the Department of Justice to fire the independent counsel. So that's why an independent counsel is not enough. We also need constitutionally a separate and distinct impeachment investigation in the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, which would consider all possible grounds for impeachment, including conflicts of interest, which may not be criminal, but are still violations of the Constitution. That's what we had in Watergate. That's what we need now. Otherwise, Donald Trump is to a great extent off the hook, maybe for a very long time.
And if the special counsel, Robert Mueller, comes up with anything illegal that has been done in this investigation, you're saying it would still have to go back to the Congress to actually do anything about it.
Do anything about it for the president.
Right.
Obviously, subordinate officials could be charged.
Right.
But that's right. It would still have to go back to the Congress, and you'd still have to have action on the part of the Congress.
I just want to ask you about the other impeachment in our history in 1868 of President Andrew Johnson. Why was he impeached and why was he not removed from office?
Well, technically, he was impeached for violating a new act called the Tenure of Office Act, a very dubious constitutionality that restricted the firing and appointment powers of the president. In fact, later on in dicta, the Supreme Court indicated that this act was unconstitutional. And he was impeached. There were many, many articles of impeachment. And he was acquitted by one vote by the United States Senate. That's why he was not removed. But the underlying animus that motivated this impeachment was that Andrew Johnson was obstructing Reconstruction, particularly the integration of newly freed slaves into American life. And while we think of impeachment as this cataclysmic event, in fact, the impeachment of Andrew Johnson was a good thing for the country because even though he wasn't convicted and removed, he moderated his opposition to the Reconstruction policies.
If a president is impeached and convicted, do they go to jail or do they just get removed from office?
Well, they get removed from office, but they are subject to usual criminal prosecution. Richard Nixon was subject to that once he resigned the presidency. That's why he got that very controversial pardon from his successor, President Gerald Ford.
So we come back to President Trump. He's got a Republican House and a Republican Senate. Is there any way that you could see his own party turning on him in the numbers necessary to impeach and remove him?
Well, I think having this independent counsel or special counsel kind of takes the pressure off the Republicans, quite frankly, to launch an impeachment investigation. They can now say, oh, it's in Mr. Mueller's hands. We don't have to worry about it anymore. That's false, but that's very politically convenient for the Republicans. However, if Republicans feel that President Trump has become a liability to their survival, they might turn against him. Every one of them is up for re-election in 2018. Nearly two dozen Republicans sit in congressional seats won by Hillary Clinton, and many more sit in potentially vulnerable congressional seats.
That's Alan Lichtman, a distinguished professor of history at American University and the author of the new book, The Case for Impeachment. Alan Lichtman, thanks as always.
My great pleasure.